You know, we have a couple days in our calendar year. Valentine's Day is probably the biggest, maybe anniversaries, where we set aside that day to specifically show that spouse, that one we love, that we do love them. And we buy the card, we take them out to dinner, we buy the chocolates or whatever it may be. Aren't you glad that there's not one specific day that God sets aside to show his love for us? Every day, all day, in many different ways, God shows himself and shows his love to us and reveals that to us. And if you notice the title of the outline, God's love for us. Each one of these things is more than a sermon in themselves, and I'm going to put 9 of them in the message. So obviously, we're very lightly touching on this, but the purpose this morning is just to remind us, to stir us to remember that God loves us. That amazes me. Because I know me. And yet, in spite of all the junk, God loves me. If you want to try and follow along, I'm going to be in a lot of different passages this morning, but go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I don't have a whole lot of time, so if I start before you get there, I apologize, but I want to get through this morning. In Psalm 139, a psalm of David, in verse 4 he says, "Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You know me. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it." And then in verses 13 and 14, those verses we often go to at Sanctity of Life Sunday, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." See, number one, God loved us enough to make us. God loved us enough to make us. There are a lot of people that face very desperate times in this life. Some people get to the point where they get so low they wish they were never born. You know, Job got to that place. There are others who said, "God, just take my life. I'm done. You know, I've had enough." And we need to understand and try to remember that when we're in those valleys of despair, when we're in those pits and we're weary and we're tired and we're alone, that God loves us. God's with us in that pit. God's with us in that valley. God formed us. He created us. He made us. And God doesn't make mistakes. You know, here, as David says, you know, "In my womb, my mother's womb, you formed me. You knit me together. You wove me together." God knew everything about you. God knew. As I was growing up, and every day I looked in the mirror and saw that nose that was way too big, God knew that nose was going to be just like that. God knew about the limbs that don't work very well or don't work at all. God knew about the struggles we have in our life and the physical difficulties and shortcomings. God knew all those things because he formed us. One way that God shows his love for us is he makes us each different. He makes us each unique. God loved us enough to make us just the way we are. Special because we are his creation. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Number two, God loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to this earth to die on the cross for us. God sent Jesus Christ to die for the ungodly. When Jesus Christ went to that cross to pay for our sins, we were not righteous. We were not good. There was nothing in us that was good. And I don't care how old you were when you accepted Christ as your Savior. For me, it was the age of 6. When I was 6 years old, there was nothing good in me. I was a worthless sinner. Doesn't matter where we were, like, we were a worthless sinner. And what great love that God shows for us that He sent Jesus to die for us. You know, we won't even inconvenience ourselves and put ourselves out for someone that we don't particularly like. Yet Jesus Christ died for those who were going to reject Him. He died for those who were going to mock Him and ridicule Him and spit in His face. Jesus Christ died for us. God loves us enough that He died for us. Jesus went to the cross for us. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." For it is God who is at work in you. And then in Ephesians 2:10, Paul carries on that theme. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." Number three, God loves you enough to work through you. God loves you enough to work through you. It is God who is at work in you so that He can mold us and shape us so that we can work, as He says, we are His workmanship, created for good works. Faith and obedience can't be separated. They go together. We are His works of art, created by God. Think, this is one of the things that just blows me away. This is this point, this thought, this theme. I don't care how long I'm a child of God. I don't care how long I'm a pastor. I don't care how long I study the Bible. I'm never going to completely grasp this and get this. Because God, in His infinite wisdom, God, in His sovereign plan, uses messed up people like you and me to accomplish His will. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for our lives. He has a specific function that only you can fill. God has ordained our days, and God gives us direction and insight, and then He gives us some freedom and flexibility to serve Him and to honor Him and glorify Him. And in His plan, He uses us. God works through us. Isn't that amazing? He could do it all with a word. Yet He chooses to allow us to be part of that plan. He chooses to allow us to be, you know, I see when I give my daughter's high maintenance. My daughter's going to put me in the grave early, I think. She just goes nonstop. And there are days when Christy and I are just, God, I can't take another day. But when I can get my strength up and when I can get motivated enough and I can get my mind wrapped around it and I can give Elle some assignments and I can give her, can you help Daddy do this and can you accomplish this and can you, and I can get her focused and doing some things and she'll just, she loves it and she gets so excited and she's doing this and doing that. That's what God does for us. You know, God says, I have a plan for you. I got something for you to do. You know, I want to include you. Could I do a better job than my daughter does? Sure. God could certainly do it better than I can. But He says, you know what? I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to include you in this. God loves us enough to work through us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verses 5 through 11, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God loves us enough to correct us. God loves us enough to correct us and to discipline us. Sometimes God allows that suffering and persecution to come into our life to redirect us and to shape us and to drive us to our knees, that brings us to that point of confession and repentance for the sin that we're dealing with. You know, sometimes He does something else that brings that discipline into our lives, and He loves us enough to correct us. This passage says that if He doesn't do that, He doesn't love us. We don't belong to Him. Because I'm a child of God, He loves me enough to discipline me. We all look back on when we were children. Not once did we enjoy discipline. Not one time did you look forward to that. But you can look back and you can say, my parents had my best interest in mind. They tried to mold me and shape me and correct negative behavior and correct my personality shortcomings and tried to mold me and shape me into the man I want to be, they wanted me to be, that would glorify God one day. You know, I don't enjoy disciplining my daughter, but I do it because I love her. And God loves us. It's the same with God's love towards us. He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to take care of us in that respect. In Psalm 103, and I know I'm flying through this, I apologize, but I have to get through this morning. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And then in verses 10 through 14, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. Now, God not only forgave Israel for their sins, He does the same thing for us. And aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve? You know, as David's recording these words in verse 10, he says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise God, He doesn't give us what we deserve. You know, He deals with us just, you know, He was gracious with Israel. Yes, He was tough a lot of times, but He was gracious again and again and again. That's the same way He is with us. This passage tells us that His loving ways are as high as the heavens are above the earth. It says when He forgives our sins, when we come and we confess those sins, He removes them as far as the east is from the west. That verse is one of the best verses in all of Scripture. Doesn't say He removes them as far as the north is from the south, because those are distances you can measure. If right now you started to head north, and you went due north, eventually you're going to hit the North Pole. And if you continued, you're not going north anymore, you're starting to go south. Because north and south is a distance you can measure. You start to go east, and you walk around this globe, and you go continually east, you'll never start to go west. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. God loves us enough to forgive and restore us. God loves us enough to forgive and restore us. Verse 14 again, for He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Created out of nothing. Materially, if you'd break down what the chemical makeup of this body, it's basically worthless. But because it's created in God's image, created by Him, He gives us value. And because He loves us, He forgives us and He restores us. And He pours that forgiveness out again and again and again. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore, I shall call upon Him and live as I live. Number 6, God loves you enough to listen to you and respond. God loves you enough to listen to you and respond. Psalmist says, God hears our prayers. He hears our supplications, our voice. And because he hears me, I can trust him and come to him in prayer. Here the psalmist is reiterating his love for God and God's love for him. And the backbone of that love is the fact that he listens. What a privilege to know that God listens and God pays attention. And the way God listens is different than the way we listen. How many of your households are like my household? Don't raise your hand, please. But see if this sounds familiar in your household. You're going about your daily activities and you're doing one thing or doing another, and Christy and I will be talking and we'll be in passing doing our things and we'll share in something, and one of us may be checking a text message or one of us may be watching. If I'm watching a football game, forget it. Don't say anything. But you know, we're hearing what they are saying, but we're not really listening. And then the next day, Christian said, "Well, I told you that." "Well, are you sure? You know, you're doing the exact same thing in your homes. Aren't you glad God doesn't listen to us like that? Aren't you glad God's devoted to listening and hearing and inclining his ear to us?" Listen to what the psalmist says again. "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live." God loves me enough to listen to me. Even if millions of people on this globe are talking to him at the exact same moment, he hears me. He inclines his ear to me. He loves me enough to listen and respond. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, a familiar verse, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Number 7, God loves you enough to provide and care for you. God loves you enough to provide and care for you. The church at Philippi had supported Paul as a missionary. They had met his needs. And he shared with the church that because they were faithful in serving God, because they were faithful in giving to God, because they were faithful in obeying God, that God was going to take care of them. God is going to supply your needs. If we are walking in the will of God, I can promise you God's word is true and he will take care of us. It may not always be the way we want. May not always be in the direction we want. You know, I'm struggling with this bill, so please give me some money. And then the boss says, "Hey, I have opportunities for overtime 3 days this week." That may be God's answer. May not be what we want. We'd rather get a check in the mail. But God's promised to take care of us. You know, a couple days, Christy and I are going to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And we can look back on 25 years of marriage and we can see time after time after time where God has just abundantly blessed us and taken care of needs. And sometimes at the very last moment, and a lot of times in very unexpected ways. And it's awesome to know that God is true. When he says, "I'm going to take care of you," he does. God loves us enough to provide and care for us. Turn to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. I'm going to buzz through these last two because I'm almost out of time. In John chapter 10, in verses 27 and 28, and keep your fingers there because our next one we're going to look at John 10 as well. John 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Listen to what Asaph recorded in Psalm 73, verse 23. "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand." Number 8, God loves you enough to guide you. God loves you enough to guide you. Asaph in Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. He took comfort in the fact that God was guiding him. Jesus himself says here in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. He leads us. God loves us enough to lead us. Jesus said that if we are his children, we will recognize his voice and we will follow him. He says, and that's true for all eternity. God has a wonderful plan for each of us. And we have to be in the Word of God, listening to his voice to understand that plan. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you following the voice of God? He loved you enough to give you his word. He loved you enough to be able to communicate with you every single day. And he's guiding us. But are we listening? Are we following? Are we paying attention? A little bit further in John chapter 10, look at verses 28 through 30. We'll read 28 again. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And then over in John 14, verses 1 through 4, I think this is what Isaac's going to share on tonight, so I'm not taking your thunder here, I'm just touching on it. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Number 9, God loved you enough to give you eternal life, or to offer you is a better word. God loved you enough to offer you eternal life. He loves you enough to offer you eternal life. Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I can't even remove myself from the hand of God. What a privilege to know that when I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I belong to God. I am his child. I'm adopted into his family. On December 20th, just a second, bear with me, 2012. On December 20th, 2012. When that judge called my little girl and put him on his lap and put the gavel in her hand and let her pound that down. And that judge looked at me and said, take your daughter home. You know, she's mine. Some days I don't want that to be true, but she's mine. She belongs to me. The moment I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I belong to him. I'm always his. God loves me enough to offer me eternal life, to give me eternal life. I don't have time. It's another message anyway. How awesome is it? Because you know you better than your spouse knows you. You know what's on the inside. You know what's in the head. You know what's in the heart. How awesome is it, in spite of all the junk that's there, in spite of all the struggles we have, in spite of all the shortcomings, God loves you. There are a lot of people in this world that are trying to earn God's love. And I'm going to get to heaven because I do this and I do that and I do this. And you know what? Jesus said, it's only by faith in Christ. And I heard someone say one time, I don't know who it was, don't know where it originated, but it stuck with me and I've never forgot it. You can never, ever do anything to make God love you more. And you can never, ever do anything to make God love you less. God loves you. In a world where we're hurting and we're discouraged and we're defeated a lot of times, and we get our eyes off of that truth, we need to remember that God loves me. Isn't that an awesome thing? God loves me. Father, thank you. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for the fact that you love me, that you love all of us, that we belong to you if by faith we've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. How awesome that is. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ who came to this earth and died on the cross for us. Lord, maybe somebody here this morning doesn't have that relationship with you because they've never received Jesus Christ by faith. May they respond to that call today. May they seek me out, say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about what that means. Or talk to somebody sitting next to them. Lord, help us to, as tough as it is, to be able to just grasp a little bit the fact that you love us. You love us. And help us to take comfort in that. As my little girl once in a while will snuggle up in my lap and give me that hug and that kiss and say, I love you and just want to be held. May we just come into your presence and let you hold us. May we get that Abba, Father, that Daddy, that you love us and you want to embrace us and encourage us and support us. Lord, help us not to forget that. And thank you, because we certainly don't deserve it. Thank you that you love us. And we thank you because of Jesus Christ. Amen.